gosh. Oh my God. Could you at least shut the door so I can have some silence, so I can cut down on the noise? In case you're wondering, you have now entered the realm of the Noise Canceling Podcast. I am Sherielle Smith, and I am the editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag, and I am joined by...
Gareth Beavis, editor-in-chief of Tech Radar.
I am Matt Swider, managing editor of Tech Radar.
I am David Lum, phones editor at Tech Radar.
And as you can see, Gareth is letting me drive this week. Oh my God. Buckle up, folks. So first things first, we are ushering in our new segment. It is called The Big Question. So in honor of Acer announcing a new drink called Predator Shot, that's really the name. The big question is, what tech company do you want to see make a drink and what flavor would it be?
I'm on the record for thinking this should be computer peripherals only. So definitely Asus ROG needs to come out with some sort of, what, Razer had Respawn. So Acer needs to be some sort of resurrection. I don't know if it always needs to match Razer point for point, but, you know, and of course it's blood red.
Oh, God. Is it a juice? Is it a, like, what is it? Like, is it an energy drink?
It's a powder you're supposed to turn into juice, right? Maybe it's a pouch. Ooh. Like a Capri Sun, ooh, but like gel.
All right.
I have three ideas. My first one is about Apple. Apple would have something generic, like apple juice, little spiced apple juice. Fitbit would have something organic. And Google would have what they think everybody wants, which is diesel fuel, some sort of Android robot powering energy drink that no one actually wants, because that's usually what they come out with.
My drink, it would be Alienware, and it would be a powder drink, but in honor of all their RGB lighting, it would have edible glitter in there. So when you added it to water, or and then from there, I would highly recommend adding it to something alcoholic, just me. It would be called the Take Me to Your Leader.
So you thought this through.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think you win by default because of, you know, the alcohol content.
I mean, I used to bartend, so I have to go there.
Well, am I allowed to have a go?
Yes!
I feel like I'm sitting in the corner today. It feels strange. After last week's big question, where I did a thoroughly awful answer with my Apple and Samsung tie-up, no one cared about that. I decided to sort of really meditate on it, and like Swider, I came up with three ideas. Only at the end did I realize there were literally the same idea, just respun three ways. So first of all, I was thinking, right, I started thinking about flavors, and I was like, peach, what would peach be? And I was like, the princess is in another castle juice, or alternatively, sorry, Mario, I have a boyfriend juice. You know, that was really harking back to the NES days. And then I started thinking, you know, like grapefruit, and I was like, straight away, my mind went to Kirby. You know, Kirby's Pinball Land was one of the favorite things I'd ever played on the Game Boy. Like, the Kirby grapefruit, because the two are kind of similar. And then I was, those two were completely organic. And then the third one was blue ice. Like, what kind of disgustingness is blue ice? And all I could think about was the Nintendo 64, and I had the game Wave Race. Because even though when I was bought the console for Christmas, I was like, please can I have, the Mario Kart version? And for some reason, my parents got me the Wave Race version that none of my friends had, which in hindsight is a beautifully lovely thing for them to buy me anything. I'm not being annoyed about that, but at the time I was like, everyone else has got Mario Kart, I've got stupid Wave Race. And then I got really into Wave Race as a game, and played it incessantly, and just it has a special place in my heart right now. And I was thinking a Wave Race, like a Red Bull size can with Wave Race brandy on the front with the N64 logo. I didn't care how many calories, or if it was just poison, I'd drink it. It'd be that good. I'd love it that much.
I'm not even sure who wins this round. I actually, you know what? I'm going to go with you, Gareth. Those were really, really in depth, and you gave it some nostalgia factor. So I'm going to go with you. You took that round.
Yeah,
Gareth, did you eventually get Mario Kart 64?
Yeah, it was the second game we got. I used my Christmas money to buy it straight away. So, as well, not straight away, because I got into Wave Race, but then when that started to die, I had the money ready, and then I got into Mario Kart, and it was all fine. And, you know, that's pervaded as a dynasty rather than Wave Race, but it's a special place in my heart.
That's good. It all worked out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was a child being given a wonderful gift. I can't complain too much, can I?
I mean, I think we all have that one gift that we wanted when we were a kid that we never got. For me, it was a rock tumbler.
A rock tumbler?
A rock tumbler.
I was thinking about these this week for absolutely no reason. Oh, I know why. Because I was at the beach and I was trying to explain to a little person how rocks got smoother. And I remembered at school they had this rock tumbler, like the same thing, that would just like smooth them out over like 6-7 days. And I was thinking how cool it was. And then I remembered, well, I started thinking, look, once you've done it once, I mean, do you do it again? Do you smooth some more rocks? I mean, like, isn't it just like a one-time thing?
Well, back then, because I've always been a super nerd, I thought I was going to be a gemologist or a geologist, one of the two, probably a gemologist because expensive things. And I was totally into it. I could tell you which each birthstone month, what it meant, what it symbolized, where it was from. Like, I was so into it. So I would beg and beg for this rock tumbler for about 5 years. Never got it.
I just only realized you said gemologist. I was like, gemologist? How would you make money off that? Like, what's so special about studying gems that makes you loads of cash? I mean, probably right now you do quite well, but...
All right, so enough of my nerdy background. Let's go into news. So we'd be remiss if we weren't talking about WWDC. Like, Apple just dropped a whole load of hot new things. And let's start with just some of the high-level WWDC stuff that came this week.
Yeah. First, I like to call this conference Dub Dub. 100% because Gareth hates that name. So,
no.
Dub Dub.
Oh, my God.
No. Everyone calls it there at that, and I just can't stand it. Like, it's fine, but no.
I didn't like it until Gareth got so annoyed by it, as you can see.
Why do people call it Dub Dub? Why?
It's just a shorter way of saying WWDC. It's just, you know, it's just...
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
It makes extra great, because it's toxic to Gareth.
But the thing is, like, when I'm there at the conference, everyone, and I think it's fine for them to call it. It makes sense, is it? But for some reason, I just can't stand it. It's probably the same as you, Cherie. And so every time people mention it, I'm sort of, oh, yeah, and just side swipe past it because you don't want to offend people. But I just, yeah, it's WWDC. It's not hard to say. Let's just say that.
Can you see why I love it so much, though? Because he just rants about it. It's great.
That makes me feel like I'm about to enter into a rave and I don't have the proper illicit drugs to enjoy the experience.
That would be wub wub.
God. Don't get us started, Gareth. We'll say it.
All right. So talk to me about iOS 14.
Okay. iOS 14. I feel like Apple is playing a lot of catch up, and that's just a really good thing. Favorite thing that they unveiled was from the transition from 13 to 14. App widgets, and they no longer just live in that today screen, which at first I thought that's what they were doing because they kind of, you know, showed you new, more refined widgets in that today menu, and then they pulled them out and put them right on the home screen. Super excited by that because I'm kind of tired of the app grid that's out there, and I really like things, glanceable information on my Apple Watch, like seeing the five-day forecast and seeing when the sun's going to set, stuff like that. That's stuff that can live right on your home screen. So as you're, you know, flipping through the home screen menu, you can see, you know, the workout session that you just did and how close you are to your goals and, you know, the weather, the five-day forecast. So those are the two widgets I think that are going to be standouts for a lot of people. But that's you know, a huge thing. Is that just me or do people like the idea of widgets coming to iOS?
I mean, as an Android user, I mean, I've been basking in widgets for years now. So, I mean, welcome to the party, y'all.
Right. Maybe. But it feels more refined. It looks more refined than what Android has been doing. Because I feel like Android developers kind of shoehorned it in there these days. they don't pay attention to it enough. It just, it's there, it's okay, but the development there isn't so grandiose.
On the day, obviously, we have an incredible team on TechRadar who are handling it with such aplomb. I didn't have a huge amount of stuff that needs to be, like, fingers in writing, which is actually wonderful, so I could help direct and give some overview stuff. But I really felt like, when I saw that happening, I was like, well, this is just Android, you know, as a phones editor for however many years on TechRadar, the amount of times I was saying, like, I just want dynamic. Even just the icons on the iPhone's app grid just being dynamic and just changing and just, you know, all we've got is the clock that shows the time. I'm like, why can't the weather widget show the heat in where I am and stuff like that? And I've been waiting for this for so long because that that app grid is really simplistic. And then I got to thinking, right, I'm going to write a piece saying, like, well, this is just Android in an iPhone, and what's taken Apple so long, and why are we only getting this now? And I don't know what it was, but I got lost in some sort of existential writer funk of, like, I wrote it three times, and each version was just like, I'm not making a point here. And the problem is that, you know, Apple waits until a point to unleash things. So whether it's OLED screens, when it says it's now the technology's finally ready, whether it's, you know, things like live photos, which were basically HTC Zoe from years and years ago that were really clever but never really took off. It does this thing where it takes technology that's already been out there and packages it up in a way that's just, and I hate saying it because it feels so like cliche, but just Apple. And then I talked to some people who buy iPhones because they want a smartphone and they just want one that works. They really don't care about choosing Samsung versus Huawei versus LG. Like, is the camera any better on the phone I'm going to buy no matter what? Great, that's awesome. And I said, you know, what do you think about widgets? They're like, I don't want widgets. Like, it's really annoying. Like, I just want the grid and to see things, and I don't want app libraries and stuff. And it's this interesting point now of like, well, yeah, Apple has 100% finally copied Android. And to be clear, Windows Phone as well. That multi-size, 1-to-1, 2-to-1, blah, blah, you know, the different size of widgets on the home screen. That is Windows Phone all over. And that was a great user interface that never got the love.
It was. Microsoft just doesn't do a good job with some of its tech. Zune, we barely knew ye. Zune launched subscription. People laugh, but Zune launched HD displays on even smartphones. It launched subscription music. It did a lot of great things. They just didn't market it well.
Yeah, Windows Phone is, again, you could have this thing where you'd have just normal app icons like a grid, like on an iPhone. But then you could make them bigger, you could make them sideways, you could make them longer, depending on how much information you wanted to see. And then also cool things like some would be transparent so you could see the image behind, blah, blah. It was a great time that never took off. But and Apple's doing that now. But what I'm struggling with in just saying, like, oh, Apple's copied this, it's like, well, yeah, it has in many ways. It's just doing what the people have done before. But then you take into account the fact that iOS 14 will come to the iPhone 6S. It's like, how far back is this going? You're like, yeah, Android users can get upset about the fact that they've been doing this for years, but they've had to buy two different phones if they wanted just to stay on the latest software since then. And it's, I really couldn't work out whether this was Apple being cheeky and being late to the game, or just doing it when it realized that it could keep going with the system it was going with for long as possible. And then now is the time to upgrade, and because otherwise we're at risk of falling behind. I still haven't figured it out, but ultimately, people are going to enjoy these, I think.
I imagine you in your own little private Walden parsing through this. I think the answer is both. I think that I think that Apple is the biggest and best Columbuser in the game. They the cheek of a company to say, hey, we've made Pencil. And people just roll with it. It's just is peak Apple. And I mean, every time that either Apple or Samsung has an event, the phone junkies are like, well, Apple did it or Android did it. So it's just a friendly rivalry. I like to think it's friendly. I mean, at the end of the day, as long as my mother has a smartphone that she can understand and I don't have to explain too much, I'm happy.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, when Android users got, because my partner was, I asked her, because she's very much the get me a phone thing. I said, Android users are going to be upset about this. She's like, why? Of course they won't. Don't be silly. I was just like, I'm just going to open Twitter and like five instant things like, oh, Android users like, we're at Apple right now. And it seems to me, it's like, you know, my sports franchise in the area that I was growing up with is better than your sports franchise kind of feeling. It's all just, you know, we won the championship first, but it's like, well, whatever, did you win it this year? No, but, you know, we're the biggest team and blah, blah. And it's just, it's nice to have that rivalry, but it, as long as it works for people, that's all that matters.
Indeed. And on my end, as laptop, I'm really geeked about Mac OS, because this is the biggest overall refresh of operating system that we've seen in a long while. So it is called Big Sur, after a town in Cali that apparently I should visit this town. If they're being named, if an OS is being named after them, maybe I need to check this out. Hopefully there's some great food there, and I'm assuming that it's a coastal town. So a lot of people have been saying that this effectively is the iPadification of the MacBook, which I think that's just a cool term. Like, kudos. I think I saw it first on Verge, maybe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's accurate. You're getting a lot of streamlining, so the apps look better. Safari has gotten a big improvement, messages, sidebar. It's just a very smooth experience. The only thing that's missing is touchscreen. Like, why can't I have Apple? Why can I not touch your screens? Let me touch you in non-creepy ways, in all the non-creepy ways.
Because they want you to buy an iPad also at the same exact time.
Yeah, and then sidecar it.
Yeah, and pay for it on your Apple card.
I don't want all of that. I don't want it.
3% cash back.
I'm pretty surprised it's getting a control center. I didn't realize that the appatification probably would have been insulting, like, you know, 5 years ago when you had the hierarchy of like, well, iPad's just diverted of iOS and iPadOS is kind of getting away from that. But actually, you know, recognizing and validating that some of these sort of touchscreen features are nice to have on a desktop. And like that cute little, you know, change your brightness, a little slider, like that's adorable instead of, you know, pushing on the function keys. Like that's validating iPadOS, iOS, the sort of like, you know, swipe down from the top sort of motion. And it is insulting if you can't touch your screen and swipe around it.
Yeah, I want it. I want to touch it. And of course, we can't forget about Mac on ARM, the biggest breakup of the tech decade. I'm calling it right now. Like, we're in a fresh new decade. I think that's going to be the biggest breakup. Mac basically told Intel that it's not them, it's Mac. And they've had a conscious uncoupling. And Mac has now turned its attention to ARM. With ARM, they're going to make custom Mac silicon. And I'm excited to see what this means. I'm excited for the industry as a whole, because competition is always a great thing. How is Intel going to respond to this? How is MacBook going to perform? Like, there's so much tech drama in the LBC. It's kind of hard being Snoopy OWG. Like, it's just so much drama, and I love it.
I mean, if you're going to call it, it's not them breaking up with it, though. It's basically them saying, look, we're going to have an open relationship from now on. I hope you're okay with that, you know, because they're not giving up on Intel for the foreseeable. They're still going to be there, but you can't see this lasting very long, right?
It's definitely asking for another partner, and you know that's the beginning of the end, right? Where they're like, Apple's getting a little frisky. Apple just wants to experiment. They just want to try new things.
And... of course, yeah. We still really appreciate what we have together. That's not changed at all. We're just like, it'd be a good idea to just see, you know, just to test it, find out what really means to us.
But Apple's not getting a new partner. They're just falling in love with themselves.
Maybe they didn't need this relationship to be happy, Matt. Like, that's really what Apple's going for.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to get Greek about it, it's very narcissist and, you know, just falling like, oh my God, who's that beautiful laptop, right? Is that me? It is me. Oh my God. But I mean, I think that this is more than Apple experimenting around, because during the press conference, they were like, yeah, we're looking to make a full transition after 2 years. So Intel literally is a dead CPU walking in terms of Apple, because they want to go full ARM in 2 years. And that's a short amount of time.
But the thing is, they haven't done that, though. I mean, they're making a stipulation it's going to happen, but it still massively leaves the door open for like, actually, this isn't working. We might need to just, you know, you'll find in 2 years' time, no fanfare, just, and another Intel processor, you know?
So what you're saying is they're keeping Intel at arm's length.
Oh, no.
Had to get that one in there.
I'm
proud of myself and sad.
You gotta put it on a headline is what's gonna happen.
Oh, yeah. Front page.
It's not the first time that Matt's just structured an entire article idea out of a pun that he's thought of. Yeah, I'm gonna retrofit an opinion on this idea that I've had.
That's how all the best movie plots begin in Hollywood.
That is true, yeah.
I always said that if I were ever to leave the company, my last review, I would Thundercat it out. Like, all Thundercat references, like the CPU would have the speed of Shatara. I've written this review in case I've ever decided, like, oh, yeah, it's time for me to make a hasty retreat. It's 12 years old at this point, but I'm still sticking with that idea.
Just review Thundercats. Don't even bother with a laptop.
No. Like, no. Just gotta get as much Thundercat into a review as humanly possible. I'll find a way to stick Snarf in there and get Monkey in and the whole, like...
I want to do this arm's length article, but enact another long-held desire that is to have no text in the article and just... The text is, no, that's the article. the headline.
Oh, here it goes.
And I've always wanted to do that on a TechRadar article that is, just feels complete from the very beginning.
It's got to wait till Gareth goes out of town.
Yeah, because Gareth's face is like, yeah, that will never happen.
Yeah, Gareth, you're going away, tomorrow?
Yeah, exactly. off for a week. Yeah, good point.
Perfect. Oh, no. No, I'm not going to do that. No. Don't worry.
I'm going to wrestle that away. I think the other thing that came out of... I'm sorry, Sheree, I'm going back into presenter mode. I do apologize.
No, go ahead. Jump on in.
David is going to be a much better authority on this than I am because he was the one that handled our coverage. But I felt like WatchOS was quite underwhelming at the heart, but then there's actually quite an interesting story in between it. But David, what did you think about WatchOS? Was it something that you felt... Did you feel the same way, or was there just like... This is just dull, and why are they bothered?
I mean, every year, new WatchOS stuff is kind of a sleeper. Except this year, it has possibly the most important addition it ever has, which is a reminder to wash your hands. It's, you know, annoying you to wash your hands for 20 seconds and whatever, but it's this close to telling all the dudes who you know don't wash their hands to wash their hands. And I am, But that's a 20-second... wash your hands sort of slow walk to keep us a little safe in these pandemic times. There's a couple other cool things, but mostly it's a little bit tiresome. The stuff that is interesting is coming over from, like, maps, for example. You get, you know, cycling directions, just like it's coming to iOS 14. You get the sort of messaging, little clips and updates. And some dance, some new fitness workout app sort of things. And sleep tracking. You finally get sleep tracking. But no battery updates, right? So you're still going to keep your Apple Watch on your wrist all night, even though you haven't charged it all day. Like, without that sort of day and a half battery, we're kind of treading water.
Well, this is the point I was going to make about it being like this. You said it's like it's a sleeper. I'm like, it literally is because it's about sleeping. But that's the big clue in the middle of this, right? Because, well, first of all, Apple says 18-day all-day battery, right? And, you know, apart from the Apple Watch Series 5 with its always-on display, which does have a bit of a hit on battery life, generally, I find their watch will easily last a day and a half normally. Like, it's actually quite a good length. A day and a half is terrible, though, still, because it's neither here nor there. It's either be one day or 2 days, so I can charge at night. But, yeah, there's the sleep thing. So you'd have to have 30% battery before you go to sleep. You know, an Apple, there'll be a reminder, apparently, to say, hey, charge your phone an hour before bedtime, because you're not going to have enough to get through the night. When you wake up, it will tell you your watch battery status and tell you to juice up if you need to. And also it goes into deep sleep mode to try and save as much battery anyway. So it's doing as much as it can there. But surely this is Apple pointing to the Apple Watch 6 being a watch with a longer battery life, because they have to launch an operating system before the new device. That's always been the way. If sleep tracking is going to be a big part of the new one, they have to make a big deal of it now. But you're right. The only way this is going to work is if they have a watch with a much longer lasting battery. So surely that's got to be coming, right?
And I feel like they just upgraded that battery, too. So how much more can they do in terms of, you know, just realigning everything inside?
Well, the battery was increased, but then the drain was increased as well in terms of, you know, having it always on display. And it did make a big effect on things. So I don't know. It's made me feel a lot more excited for the Apple Watch 6 being an actual upgrade. I mean, we've had that kind of TikTok, you know, Apple Watch 4 was a big move forward. Apple Watch 5 was quite small. And then Apple Watch 6 will hopefully be that kind of jump forward.
I will say two small things about the Watch OS 7 update. First, you do make a good point in saying, when do you charge up this Apple Watch if you're sleeping with it on? You almost have to come up with creative ways, like, okay, I am going to take a shower right now, and I'm not going to wear my Apple Watch in the shower, so I can get some juice that way. And it's just like, you have to kind of be inventive. The second thing is, I'm really interested in the sleep tracker, because in 2017, May 9th, to be exact, I wrote an article about Apple buying Bedit, the Fitbit for sleep tracking, as it was called, as that company was called prior to Apple's acquisition. And we pointed to that article every 6 weeks when a rumor would pop up about the next Apple Watch getting sleep tracking. Now it's time we can actually retire that article and stop linking to it, because it's finally happened. And I'm really interested in seeing how they use the expertise of Bedit and the team that they bought to kind of differentiate themselves from the other sleep tracking apps that are out there that are kind of, you know, garbage. So can Apple kind of redefine this sector? I'm really interested in testing that out.
I don't think the sleep tracking apps are garbage. There's a lot, I mean, in terms of apps on the Apple Watch, perhaps, but, you know, I've been using a Whoop strap for quite a long time to do some really detailed analysis that gives you good feedback. And, you know, Garmin watches are pretty good as well. I feel like there's lots of things out there. What we haven't had is anybody doing sleep tracking in a way that gives you actually good, insightful data to be like, hey, do this better. Like your, you know, the disturbances in the room, there's, you know, the temperature, the just really working out what works for you. And Apple doesn't sound like it's going to do that anytime soon either. So we could still be waiting for that mass produced thing.
Yeah, I'm not in love with the UI that every sleep tracking maker seems to go with just a bunch of bars that really don't tell me very much in the end.
I'm not into smart watches, and I definitely don't do sleep trackers. My sleeping habits are atrocious. All a smart watch could tell me is maybe stop playing video games until 4 a.m. to, I am going to say, an emphatic no. Speaking of games, really quick before we move out of this segment, Mixer is shutting down, and it's a big deal. So apparently, after courting Ninja and a whole bunch of high-profile streamers from Twitch, Microsoft is just taking its ball and going home. Well, actually, it's not going home. It's actually going over to Facebook Gaming because there's some type of nebulous deal over there in the works. And it's just really going to change the landscape of live streaming as we know it. And it's really interesting. It's kind of sad that because I like Mixer on the strength that it gave much needed competition to the live streaming arena. And now we're going over to Facebook, which, like, I feel like Facebook is just two more business acquisitions from running into an antitrust lawsuit, but we shall see. Thoughts on this, folks?
I would say it's, I'm surprised that Facebook Gaming, a lot of the people that are, you know, caught up in this exiting Mixer seem to be wanting to go back to Twitch instead of aligning themselves with Facebook Gaming, you know, and kind of turning their head at the payday that they would get from Facebook Gaming, because Facebook is kind of uncool in a lot of minds. And I'm kind of surprised that this wasn't a project absorbed by Instagram or, you know, something much cooler than Facebook. But Facebook seems to be keen on making this happen. But will the creators show up and make that transition? That's the big debate.
And I guess my other question is, what does this mean for xCloud? Because, like, Project xCloud is coming, and if you're unfamiliar, xCloud is basically Microsoft's cloud gaming service that's supposed to hit mobile and Chromebooks, everywhere that you want your games to be outside of a console or the actual powerful PC. I just don't get what this does for them as a company, because you need a streaming service, and Mixer was that for them. I just don't get it.
I'm just really interested in Ninja's deal that he got. He walked away with, what, how many millions of dollars by 40 or something like that, going from Twitch to Mixer, and then Mixer closes in a couple months, and then you walk away with all that money.
I mean, he's the MVP right here. Like no matter what, like, that is a boss move. Like, okay, I'm going to make this jump. I still get to keep this money. And now Facebook wants to throw more money at me. So, I mean, the grand winner in this is Ninja. I'm just not sure how this is going to play out for the rest of the gaming community. I do agree with you. When I think Facebook Gaming, I think Words with Friends. That's how old that concept is. I'm like, I don't want this. But I'm assuming that Facebook is also looking at it through the lens of Oculus, which it also owns, because low-key, Facebook is trying to buy all of us. You thought Google was going to be our overlords, but it very well might be Facebook. I think that they're doing this to bolster their VR community and try to get those numbers in there, because they really do believe in a VR headset in every pot, in every home by a certain year. So I think that this is moving towards that push. Not totally sure, but I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, Facebook just bought the folks that made Lone Echo VR and the Order 1886. And people keep saying that the Order, that like that's the more important game. The Lone Echo VR is the most important game out of those two things.
Yeah, Ready at Dawn. Great developer.
They are a great developer, but I think it really pushes, it speaks more to the VR push than traditional gaming.
Absolutely.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, and Ready at Dawn was basically shadowed Naughty Dog for several years, making their ports and PSP version of their games. So that could be Facebook's Naughty Dog or their big developer in terms of first-party software. I'm excited by that.
Awesome. And I am not excited for this phone, but I know you are, David. So talk to us about the Pixel 4a.
The Pixel 4a is vaporware. I mean, we're pretty sure it exists, but like we haven't heard of it. It was supposed to come out May around. Like that's when the 3a came out. Kind of a surprise as a version of Pixel flagship phones, but at half the price. And I was really excited to see what Pixel 4 stuff we were going to see in the 4A. I will be surprised whenever it comes out, eventually. We don't know when that is, because Google has slow rolled it out, and while it hasn't made really anything official on the phone, all the rumored deadlines or launch dates we've heard have come and gone. So can't wait, you know, eventually. And it'll float us until, you know, Samsung Note 20 comes out in August, allegedly. The Apple phones later in the year, anything else we're slated to get in this weird online launch year. But it's the phone I can point people to and be like, oh, you don't want an iPhone SE. Like, here's the equivalent. Like, you know, like you're in between paychecks. I get it. You aren't a big phone person. This is it. This is the one you can just pay and get sweet pictures and not have to take my word for it as a phone reviewer, right?
I will say they've delayed this Pixel phone so much, I think that Google needs to make a sudden attack or 4A.
Get that 5G.
That's 2-in-1 podcast. You are getting value in this podcast.
I mean, I have freakishly long fingers, so I prefer a big old phone. I'm actually excited for the Note 20 myself, so I can finally replace my Note 8. I thought I was going to make the jump during the 10, but I did not. So the Note 20 is going to be the new phone. All right. And we're back and we're going to the labs. We're going to see some stuff. We're going to talk about laptops and maybe two TLC phones. Why are we talking about two TLC phones? I've got to start there. Reviews. I'm sorry. I just saw the running order and I couldn't even keep the song and dance going. Why are we talking about TCL phones? What is going on here?
TCL has made the call to jump headlong into the phone game. And we've got the TCL 10 Pro and the TCL 10L. Yeah. I mean, just like every other phone maker, they have to make it hard for us. These are budget and mid-range phones creeping up from TCL's Alcatel. They're cheap budget phones, and boy, are they Android phones.
Are these coming to the U.S.?
Yes. Yeah, they are. They've got some limited release. I believe they are. They have some carrier support, but not a lot, in the same vein as OnePlus slow rolling out to Sprint and T-Mobile. You're not going to see these on too many shelves just yet, but these are literally the first generation of phones from a TV maker, from a screen maker. So
yeah, because it's hard for me to see this without A, thinking TLC, and then B, thinking that maybe TCL should stick to the rivers and the lakes that it's used to. But that's just me.
They're gonna lure us in with a red light special. That's the only other song I could think of, not to be a creep.
I was wondering the same thing. I was like, is it Waterfall, or is it like the fact they don't want no guy hanging on the passenger side of his best friend's ride?
Well, Dig it on me, dig it on you. I don't even have a segue for that.
That's how you do a pun, Slider. That's how you do a pun.
Oh, I know my TLC.
Things will never be the same again. Which was a Lisa Left Eye Lopez feature on a Melanie C song in the UK, which is really tangential to the whole thing. But, you know, I liked it.
Oh, man. I ain't too proud to beg, man. I ain't too proud to beg. Well, I'm hoping that these phones will not be unpretty.
Yeah. I mean, it's ruined by the fact David's holding them up to the camera. That it's not an audio feature, but not only does it show you can't see them, but it shows how good his ring light is for his webcam.
Absolutely. If you guys could see me, I am so evenly lit. And so are these phones.
Oh, God. All right. So in laptop land or laptop dia or whatever, I'm going to figure that out. I am in the process of wrapping up the review for the MSI GE66 Raider. It is basically a baby MSI Titan, which is not a bad thing. And it is super powerful. If you're looking for a desktop replacement gaming laptop in a 15-inch chassis, the one I have is actually, it's for a tricked out gaming laptop. It's not as exorbitantly expensive as you would expect. It's about $29.99, not the $35 or $30. So it's just skirting it. But it has a overclockable core, Intel Core i9. It's got NVIDIA Super 2080 GPUs, like all the bells and whistles, and a smaller 15-inch chassis. It's been a blast to play on. I actually fell back into Witcher 3 for like 4 hours in what was supposed to be a 20-25 minute test, and I went deep into Witcher yet again, because that is the game I do play when I am not reviewing or playing or just have something. It's my fallback game. I love it. So the great thing's power, it's rocking that 99.9 watt hour battery, so you'll get a decent amount of battery life out of there, as it is the biggest battery that the TSA will allow on a plane, so do with that what you will. Downsides, the audio is not what I expect from MSI. MSI will usually have a blow your socks off type of audio performance. It was a quiet riot, and that's never good on a gaming PC, but it's definitely worth your money. So stay tuned for that review. And with that, unless anyone else has any reviews that they would like to talk about, I'd like to move on because we're running out of time and we're going to take a short break. All right, and we're back, and it's time for my favorite part of this podcast, Unpopular Opinions. Let your hate unfurl. We're going to talk so much crap about your sacred cows. I can't wait to start Unpopular Opinions. All right, who's got something they want to hate on?
I mean, I'm happy to jump in about air power, but I was unprepared for this.
All right, I'm starting it off.
Go for it.
I don't understand the anticipation for something that is obviously vaporware. If Apple wanted you to have a wireless charger, they would have done it. And they sat there, and it's one of those rare misses, that like one of those rare products that doesn't come out. And Apple has gotten us so conditioned to, if we say it, it's going to come out, that people have been looking for the, it's basically tech's great white whale. And it's for such a unnecessary product. Like, there are already all these wireless chargers on the market. Why is it special because it's Apple? Like, what makes this so special that every time we go into Apple event, we're sitting there with bated breath, not looking for MacBooks, not looking for iPhones, but looking for Apple AirPower? Someone please explain this to me.
I mean, I think it's massively overwrought how much we care about air power, or not, we don't care about it, that's the point, but how many people sort of go, what's happening with this? But I do feel like any tech brand that makes a statement they're going to make a thing and then doesn't make a thing, even though in fairness to Apple, they have said we're not going to make the thing anymore because we just couldn't get it to work, and yet for some reason the rumors still persist. You know, if that happened, there's this kind of like, well, if you can't make it work with all your millions and billions of resource dollars, then hey, what's up? Tell us more. You know, and Samsung did their, what was it, their Home Mini that they were supposed to be doing. They said, we're going to announce this, and then that's never turned up. And you still go, hey, why have you done this? Make that thing that you said going to happen. But Air Power, I mean, I agree that there are lots of charging pads, but there's no charging pad out there that could do all three things. And Apple is, I mean, there are other brands out there that have got the same kind of love. You know, Huawei in China is incredibly popular. And there are, you know, Sonos has a whole ecosystem of things you want to modularize together. But in terms of Apple, where it's got all these different things that are wirelessly chargeable, your phone, your watch, and your AirPods, for instance, you just feels like it's obvious that, I say in inverted commas, obvious that you should be able to do them all in one single place. And its fans would want that, which is why people get so upset. And no one's managed to crack that. Even Apple, apparently it was just getting too hot. There would be some smarts in there as well that would allow, you know, the devices to charge cleverly, and it would give you feedback on your phone and blah, 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 blah. It would just be very Apple, and people who like Apple things want more Apple things. When Apple says, we're going to make you another thing, and you don't give them the thing, people get upset about the thing.
It's funny. We started the podcast talking about how Apple is usually just reserved and waits until things are out there and other developers and other manufacturers make mistakes. And then they come out with something and kind of perfect that. They did the opposite here. And they tried to come out with AirPower, which, you're right, Gareth, did three things at once. And to tell you how novel that was, that happened in September of 2017. When I went to CES 2018, there were a couple companies like Belkin coming out with devices later that year in 2018, charging mats that were able to charge two things at once. And here Apple unveiled something months prior that was doing three things at once, and basically wherever you put it. No one's really achieved that even today. And I think one day Apple could unveil it if no one else comes out with it. But I know everybody remains skeptical. But it would be a great triumphant thing if during a future press conference, all of a sudden it emerges.
Wouldn't that be a negative thing, though? That they said they weren't going to do it, then do it, but they weren't going to do it, and then did it. And then it's all like, well, you couldn't do it then. What's happened now? Have you broken physics? Have you changed things? I don't know. I feel like I think we'll never see AirPower. We'll see it a different way.
Maybe.
It'll be a different version somehow.
Yes. I think that is what it's destined to be. It may even come with a new name. But if no one does this idea and Apple figures out a way to make it cool a little bit more, you know, it would make headlines.
Right. We really have... I'm doing it again, Sherry, but we really have to wrap up this thing. However, I've got to make a plea because I need to keep my relationship with my father. He was so mad last week because he said, I listened to all that. What did he say? I'm going to tell you what he said. He sent me angry emojis, sad faces, mad dad. I said, haha, why dad? He said, worst thing, I had to listen to 40 minutes mainly about stupid games and PS5 to find out that dad's spot had been ditched again.
I felt him. So please, let's talk about what are your dad's thoughts? I really do care. I really want to know.
He wants his theme song, I think, more than anything else.
He wants what?
He wants his theme song.
Oh, I've got Gareth's dad. I'm going to come up with a song for you. I've got to think about this now. I did not know. I did not know that you needed a song. So I'm going to put this next week into really thinking about a tune. I'm going to talk to Gareth because now I need to know what kind of music. You're going to get a theme song. You will have it.
He's going to be so mad for not getting that again. But the only thing that he wanted to put in, he bought the Neuraloops based on our podcast, saying that there was such a good idea. And he really loves them, except that he was pointing out that there's a problem with Android phones where they're not syncing, and he's gone back to Neuraloop to try and find out the problem, and like they're breaking the sync and stuff. Yeah, so he's currently working through that at the moment. I know we're really short on time, and I was about to say we haven't got enough time for this, but I don't think I can handle another really upset message from him.
No. Like, we got to get that in there. Maybe that's a story. Thanks, Gareth's dad. Yeah.
Well, I'm currently following it right now to see what the deal is. So he's doing the investigative work for me, so it's
awesome. Fun. All right, cool. So with that said, this is yet another awesome episode of Noise Canceling, and I am Sherielle Smith. I am editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag. For more of me and the Laptop crew, of course, go to Laptop Mag. Go to Instagram. Go to Facebook. You can find me on those platforms at MIS Smith. Why can't I spell? MIS Smith 11 and Laptop Now, Laptop Back Then, and Laptop Forever.
I was Gareth Beavis, editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. If you want quality tech news, come to Tech Radar for all your video news, features, reviews, updates, puns, you know, the things that you're going to get from the Maths Wider specials. And we are Tech Radar on every single social that you could possibly find us, except the ones that are new and younger, because we're not very good at that.
I am Matt Sweater, managing editor of Tech Radar, and signing off. But you can catch up with me at Matt Sweater on most, if not all, of the social media platforms for all your dub related information.
Oh my god.
And this has been David Lum, phones editor at Tech Radar. Find me on Twitter at OutOnAlum. And yeah, wash your hands, please.
Sweater, why haven't you got a puntastic handle like that on Twitter?
I do have Sweaterman at some of my gaming ones, but
Sweaterman, doing all the things a sweater can.
My sweater sense is going crazy.
Well, as ever, if you have enjoyed this podcast, and of course you have, please find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. Give us 5 stars where you're able to do that, because that would be really wonderful. But as I always say, if we didn't deserve it, don't give it to us, but just don't do anything, because that makes it worse. We are part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. There are many wonderful podcasts to look up there, so please do check them out. And Cherie, finish us off.
Yeah, this is Noise Cancelling, and we're out.
That was really fun. Thank you for having us.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.